The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 26th day of January. Wait for it, Mikey. 2018. Keep calling it 2017. I don't want to wish everybody's life away, but somebody has hit the fast forward on the VCR of life here. Time is just burning away. As promised, I have with us, and this is the first time this year, we had him on last year, which sounds like an awfully long time ago, Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute. Hello, how you doing, Harley? Live from Berlin.
John, I'm doing great. Nice to talk with you.
Well, I appreciate this. Let me see. It's roughly, 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. now in Berlin?
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. here. It's a little dark.
That's okay. Even when the sun's shining in this country anymore, it's still a little dark. Hey, I just read your latest article. And I'm appreciative of you sending this over, and we've posted it on republicbroadcasting.org. Let's start out with Trump's appearance at Davos, and even MSNBC, I was shocked, kind of touted Trump's appearance over there as kind of like he's a rock star. He garnered a lot of attention.
Well, he's the president of the United States, and that's a significant factor. It's been 18 years since a U.S. president has appeared in Davos. Secondly, everyone's curious because there's so much media attention, including in Europe, on President Trump, much of it negative, just like the United States. You have a mainstream media here, which is filled with lies and distortions. But even as they do that, they're curious, well, who is he? What is he going to say? And then, of course, you have the media creates the sense that he might say something absolutely crazy, so people want to be there to hear it. But I think the important thing at Davos is there were two events going on. One is you have corporate elites, the financial elites, and they're there with their big cigars and their champagne because they're having a good year because of the stock market going up. And these are the ones who benefit from the cheap money that's poured into their companies that they've used not to create jobs and physical production, new plant and equipment, but to buy their own stock. So you have on the one side a celebration going on. On the other side, people realize that the bubble could pop at any point. There's no leadership in Europe. In Germany, we still don't have a government 4 months after the election. There are crises everywhere, North Korea, the Middle East, and so on. And the United States still counts for a lot in the world. And I think that's why Trump, besides his own oversized personality, was so interesting to people at Davos.
Well, I just seen a little bit of it. I watched a little bit of it yesterday. And, it's been years, you're correct. It's been years since a U.S. president has gone to Davos. And I listened to it long enough to realize that I was not going to hear anything of any value. any discussions that took place that would have any impact or value to anybody certainly was not done in a public forum, and it certainly was not broadcast.
It's all off on the sidelines. And, you know, one of the more interesting interviews that was done there on the side is a friend of mine who's a very fine economist, used to be the chief economist of the Bank for International Settlements, a man named William White. And he sort of rained on the parade there because he said the financial system is in a catch-22 when it comes to the question of ending the period of quantitative easing, of low interest rates, virtually free money for the banks and so on. And what he said is that they know that if they stop the quantitative easing, that is, if they raise interest rates to 2% or higher, you're going to blow out what he called zombie corporations. And what is a zombie corporation? It's a company that owes more in debt than it's making in income. In many cases, it owes more in interest on debt than it's making in income, and therefore it requires a flood of liquidity. Now, what happens if you cut off that liquidity? According to the International Monetary Fund, you're going to have 20% of the corporations in the United States blow up, go into bankruptcy. So William White laid this out, and of course it was in the one newspaper he did the interview with, and that was it. So as you're saying, John, reality doesn't seem to get through the deep snow in Davos, and there are other things that are piled quite high there.
Well, and it was interesting. One of the topics of conversation was supposed to be global warming when they're buried under an avalanche of snow.
The trains couldn't get through. There was so much snow. And you know, when trains don't get through in Switzerland, you know, it's a lot of snow.
I am absolutely fascinated. The dog and pony show over there. And here is the world's wealth, or the inner workings of the world's wealth and their machinations on full public display. And, of course, the public, as I said, learns nothing. They go behind closed doors and they have their meetings. Well, I'm familiar somewhat with Willie White. I call him Willie. Yeah. And he was exactly correct. Now, the one thing that I don't understand, because you seem to have a pretty good handle, and you understand why the stock market in the United States is so high, and it went up again today. I think it hit a new record. Yeah. And people seem to forget, or the mainstream media doesn't seem to want to remind people, that the last time that we had a record stocks on Wall Street was, I think, 1929.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everything just blew apart.
You know, it's that they say that financial traders are a lot like three-point shooters in basketball. You always forget the last one you missed. And, you know, here you have people who know. The other talk in Davos was people saying, when's it going to blow? How will we know to get out in time? And this is a big topic of conversation. And this is also why what William White was talking about is so important. This is why Janet Yellen couldn't answer the question of when will you unwind all the bad debt that the Federal Reserve has taken on, and when will you stop the zero interest rates? Well, they've stopped the zero interest rates. They've moved it up a tiny bit. But as I said, they know that there's bankruptcies looming everywhere. And you know, one other point I should make, they were very excited, the international corporate elite, about the tax cuts in the United States. And why were they excited? Well, Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase said that the Trump tax bill is quantitative easing 4. In other words, flow of money into corporate pockets. Now, the question is, what are they going to do with that? And I think we talked about this once before, John, that when John Kennedy was president and he did a tax reform, his idea was that you give a tax cut to those companies that actually put the money they get into job training, new plant and equipment, new technologies. In other words, they earn the tax cut, and they use the money to create more physical production. There's none of that in the tax bill that just went through the U.S. Congress, and so people can celebrate it all they want, and if you're really wealthy, it's a good thing to celebrate. And also it does have a little bit here and there for middle class, but not much. Mm-hmm. But the idea that this is going to fuel the rebirth of manufacturing in the United States, it's just not going to happen.
Well, and there's several problems with this scenario. Number one, the amassed debt worldwide that, thanks to our bankers back in 2008, they decided to get into the speculative game, and we saw where that led. And I think the idea here is to keep this boat afloat by getting more money flowing through the system, upping productivity, adding a few jobs, a little bit more profit, and at least we'll be able to tread water without deep sixing ourselves for a while longer. Now, Harley, the one thing that I never understood, and I'd seen this pattern before, what's old is new, and what's new is old. In 1929, mm-hmm. After the Great Depression, and I think this depression is greater than the first Great Depression, but for 10 years, what did the banks do? They dried up all the liquidity. There was no loaning for anything. And mm-hmm. I didn't understand this, because people that still have jobs that think that the world's still going to be intact next month or next year, they want to buy things. They want to buy durable goods. They may not have the cash on hand, and they'd be willing to buy it on credit at a reasonable rate, ahead of inflation for the banks and the lending institutions. So that would kind of keep them out of the hot water without going red on, you know, normal business transactions. From your vantage point, why haven't they done this?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that are just basic real economics that no one talks about anymore. One is the difference between liquidity and solvency. That you can create an appearance of solvency if there's a lot of liquidity. But if there's too much liquidity, you're going to trigger an inflation, and you're going to find out how insolvent everything really is. And this is an important point, because the solvent institutions tend to be small regional banks and community banks, because they've loaned money to people who are producing something, including mom-and-pop stores, small and medium enterprises, and so on. The big banks, in order to get the profits they need, are going into increasingly risky investments, including mergers and acquisitions. Again, there's a new boom in mergers and acquisitions. But you mentioned something before about corporate profits. If you deduct the profits being made from stock purchases from corporate balance sheets, the corporations are not making profits. And, of course, the problem with stock profits is that those are the basis for bonuses paid out to the executives.
Right.
So we're not seeing an increase in corporate profits. We're seeing an increase, as you said, in liquidity. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to solve the economic problem. And I would argue, John, as you and I talked about also before, we never recovered from 2008. The whole Obama recovery talk was a bunch of nonsense. And I just wrote an article recently in which I told President Trump that he should not take credit for the stock market going up, because just as it's going up now,
Yeah. If
he owns it now, what happens when it crashes?
Well,
it's his stock market.
You know, I think at that point in time, eyes will be off Trump, and everybody will be grabbing everything they can off the table and hitting the back door.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of time to sit and strategically attack Trump over the deal. You know,
I think he's being set up. I think he's being set up by Mnuchin and Gary Cohen, the Goldman Sachs guys, who are telling him the same thing Greenspan told Bill Clinton. As long as the markets are happy, you'll be popular. And look what happened the end of the Clinton era. And forget Monica Lewinsky. There were three bubbles that popped in the last years of his presidency. The Asia bubble in 1997, the Russian bond bubble in 98, which nearly collapsed the whole U.S. banking system, and then the dot-com bubble. So all the talk of the great productivity and increase in wealth under the Clinton period was a series of bubbles.
Well, but he did one thing. He balanced the budget by stealing the money out of Social Security.
Well, yeah. You know, there are ways you can do these things
yeah.
with statistics, but the question is, are the American people as a whole better off from any of the policies of the last four or five presidencies? And I would argue no. I would argue that, and again, this goes back to the question of, if you're a consumer economy and you depend 65-70% of your income comes from sale of products, goods, especially off-the-shelf goods, what happens when people don't have enough income to cover rent, food, and medical expenses? They do what you said. They go and do it on credit cards. Mm-hmm. You know, these studies that show that, 60% of the American people couldn't cover a $1,000 emergency expense. And I think it's 50% can't cover a $500 emergency expense. The only way they could is on credit cards. And right. You know what credit card interest rates are. So this is not a good economy.
Yeah, funny you should mention that. Everybody gets the mailers over here. Somebody wanting you to have one of their special credit cards and introductory offers and everything else, but you read the fine print. I got a credit card offer today, a little under 30% interest. Oh, yeah. And if I want cash advances, 35%. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, wait a minute. I can go and get a better deal from Guido right down the street from a loan shark.
Yeah,
I am just thoroughly amazed. The one thing, and I'm glad we're talking about Mr. Trump here, because this guy, from my standpoint, is a paradox. Now, I understand language that you use to get elected. Okay, I get that. Campaign promises and how many of the promises are kept. Well, he wants to make America great again, and I'm all for that. I don't know how great we were before and in whose eyes that particular assessment came from. Mm-hmm. But I look at this Harley and I go, Trump is a businessman. He understands the flow of money. He understands what makes things go. So he brings in the bankers seated right next to him. It's like bringing in the devil to put him right on your shoulder, get some good advice. And here we're sitting. And we watched what happened in 2008. We know the reasons why that went on. So Trump is going to make America great again, except the juice is still running on the debt that's owed to these damn banks that the government ran up. Fundamentally speaking, I even think public education in high school now, I think the millennials can even figure this one out, can't they?
Well, you know, I think... Let me just break down the debt situation very briefly before I come to the question of Trump, because I think I have a somewhat unique view on this. But in terms of the debt problem, the government debt is now $20 trillion. But corporate debt, non-financial corporate debt, is $14 trillion. And many of these are, for example, in commercial real estate. People may not know this, but a major company in South Africa just had a hemorrhage that's costing mostly big banks up to $2 billion in losses. Carillion, which is one of the largest construction companies, second largest construction company in the UK, failed to meet their interest payments, and they're going to have 50,000 jobs lost because of this. Now, this is what we mean by zombie companies. They don't have access to credit anymore because they're too much debt. What do? Now, look in the United States. What happens when Sears closes, when Macy's close, when Target or Kmart or these other companies close? People think about the immediate loss in jobs, but these are large real estate locations. These are commercial real estate, which have been sliced and diced the same way mortgages were with mortgage-backed securities. There are pension funds in these things. There are bank loans dependent on the monthly rent checks from these companies. This is very perilous. So that's $14 trillion.
Okay, Harley, hold that thought. We've got a break coming up here.
Okay.
Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute joining me from Berlin. And it's about 1:20 in the morning over there right now. Very appreciative of coming up late to do the National Intel Report to impart his wisdom on you. privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're talking with Harley Schlanger. Harley, we got a short segment here, and then at the bottom of the hour, take a break, and we have about 20 minutes on the other side of that, uninterrupted. Continue, sir.
Well, I was saying you have $14 trillion in corporate debt, $20 trillion in U.S. government debt. You've got between $1.5 and $2 trillion in student debt. The foreclosure rate on car loans is now starting to go up because it takes now 5 or 6 years to pay off a car. And then you have the banking system, which is loaded with debt. And no one knows the full volume, but according to the most recent reports from the BIS, there's still somewhere in the range of $700 trillion of derivative obligations on the books of banks, most of which is on the books of about 20 banks. Now, they argue these are counterparties, so if both sides agree to write them down, it's not a big deal. Well, that's simply not true. It's the derivative debts represent a very significant aspect of what's being propped up with the flow of money from the central banks. That's why it doesn't get to the businesses and the industries and the small and medium enterprises, because they need to hold the money in case there's a run on them. So this whole system is extremely fragile. And to get back to the Trump question now.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me let me clarify something here. I've heard the $20 trillion often spoken and repeated. And years ago, talking with Ron Paul, and he was on the banking committee.
Yeah.
Ron was not a dummy. And we were talking one day backstage. He was giving a speech up in Dallas. And he said, John, he said, I've heard you, you know, make quotes about the national debt. He said, do you realize, you know, we've got a lot of treasuries, a lot of bonds out there. We have a lot of accumulated debt. He said, do you realize that the past, present, and future obligations of the federal government is probably north of $150 trillion? So I hear this $20 trillion figure, and it almost reminds me of, you know, what's the unemployment rate? Oh, that's right, it's 4%. Okay, yeah. I'll take the 4% along with a $20 trillion debt. Yeah, we're going to be just fine, Harley.
Well, you know, the larger figure, and I think $150 trillion is a little high, but I've heard $70 to $80 trillion. If you figure in Social Security, you figure in delayed deferred payments and veterans and other things, and that's definitely true. The question, how do you sustain that? How do you handle that? If you have a growing economy and if you have more young people who are contributing to the growth of the economy, and I don't just mean to government, but I mean in spending and in buying homes, doing things like that, then you can have an increase in overall wealth. But if you're just doing something which provides money to the richest, the speculators, and the average person doesn't have, you know, $1,000 in a savings account, then you start looking at the fact that people are dependent on having those long-term payments, whether it's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and so on. They're dependent on that. They can't survive without it. And the government isn't going to have enough to cover those costs. So those deferred payments then become a factor. Right now, in terms of U.S. treasuries and things of that sort, they're not a factor. But Ron Paul is right. There are obligations that go far beyond the official figures.
Well, and I'm sitting here, Harley, and I'm trying to line up the dots and connect them. And it's getting harder and harder to do because we're dealing with figures. I mean, figures so high, I joke that a dog can only hear them.
Yeah.
People do not understand how much debt. And, you know, you said 70 to 80 trillion still toxic debt on the bankers' books of the 20 biggest banks. This is not going to go away. Now, they can wheel and deal amongst themselves. They can make backroom doors, deals, and say, look, okay, we're going to move ahead. You know, what do you need to survive? You know, we'll shovel some money here and there.
I'll tell you what they need to survive. They need a guarantee from the government that they'll get a bailout when things go south and a bail-in, which is in the Dodd-Frank bill, that those banks can start seizing depositors' deposits. So if you have a bank account in the United States and in Europe now, the EU has the same rule, the European Union, banks have a right to take a percentage of your deposit, which certainly wipes out the whole idea of deposit insurance, doesn't it?
Harley, this is maddening.
That's no longer your money. That's the point.
Well,
it
never was anybody's money. It always belonged to the corporations.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of like their little, I don't know, penny stock that they would float out there and people would use it and exchange them. Okay, we got a break coming up here. We'll break for 3 minutes. And to the audience out there, we'll open up the phone lines. I don't know if people realize, I guess, Harley, I haven't had you on often enough for the people to realize how smart you really are. You move in the circles that gathers the information. And information is one thing, but assembling it and making sense out of it is totally another thing. And that's where you get a gold star. So we'll open up the phone lines into the second hour for Harley Schlanger. This is John Stadtmiller. This is the National Intel Report, and we will be back in 3 minutes.
No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back talking with Harley Schlanger over in Germany. By the way, are you in Eastern Germany, Western Germany, Berlin rather?
Well, my office is in what used to be West Berlin, but my home is in Potsdam, which was a very important city for the East German government. But it's a very beautiful place. A lot of buildings from still standing from the early 1800s when there was a Greek revival. So it's a very nice place to live. But every once in a while, you get an eerie feeling that, for example, in my apartment, it was at one time an insane asylum. And after that, it was where the Stasi files were kept, the East German secret police. And you almost have a sense when you walk around the neighborhood that some of the older people who were watching you used to do that on behalf of the East German secret police.
When I was in a U.S. Army uniform in Germany back in the early 70s, I would hop on the streetcar, and every once in a while, Harley, I would get an old person, you know, past 65, 70, 75 years old, looking at me and just sitting there and staring. And it didn't take much of an imagination to figure out what was on their minds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Germany has, I don't know if there's any other city in the history of men, or state rather, that has been torn apart as many times as Germany has, and they've always managed to drink their high-power beer, drink a little bit of their schnapps, roll up their sleeves, go back to work, and build it all over again.
The other interesting thing about Germany is it took them a long time for it to become one nation. I mean, the original unification of Germany didn't take place until Bismarck and about the time of the American Civil War. And then, even then, you had World War I and World War II. And you know, after World War I, Germany was given sole blame for the war. And was hit with these huge reparations payments. So, you know, you can see that with the older people also, you know, a lot of the World War II generation has died off. But the younger generation, they are afraid to show any patriotic sentiment because of the brainwashing job that was done to them after World War II, that if you believe in German nationalism, you're probably a Nazi.
Well, and I always refer to, you know, the World War I and World War II. I always refer to it as World War I and World War I Part II.
Yeah,
because they weren't done ripping up Germany. Germany posed a threat to a lot of industrialized nations to the degree that it was unfair competition. These people were smart. Well, they were industrious. You can be smart and industrious, but until you pick up a hammer and start hammering, you know, nothing comes into form and nothing is produced. The one thing that I learned about the German people when I was over there, gosh, what is it now, almost 50 years ago, is that these people have a spirit that you can't break. There is something about the German people that you can't break these people.
It's a very disciplined nation, and you know, alles in Ordnung is one of the, you know, everything's in order. You know, they say that the problem you'd have with making a revolution in Germany is that people would have to stand in line waiting to make the revolution. You know, it's a very patient country.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think historically it's an extremely important country. Some of the great ideas in music and science and culture came from the Weimar classical period. You have the Einstein, Max Planck, modern physics. So there's a tremendous history here, but so much of it is shaped by the period from 1933 to 1945, and if people actually hear and knew the truth, you have families like the Bush family in the United States funded Hitler.
Sure.
The Bank of England, Sir Montague Norman, was promoting Hjalmar Schacht, who became Hitler's finance minister. And what they were? Why were they so worried about Germany before World War I? If Germany allied with France and Russia and built the Trans-Siberian Railroad and the Berlin to Baghdad Railroad, that would eclipse the power of the British Empire, which depended on sea power.
Right.
And so we're still seeing that today when you see China with the New Silk Road and the opposition to it from the European Union. It's crazy because the Chinese are building railroads now into Eastern Europe, and the European Union's trying to stop them.
Well, and what did I just read yesterday? The rail line between North and South Korea through the DMZ has just reopened.
Well, this is a really fascinating thing, and I wanted to come back to this question about Trump, the paradox or the schizophrenia. Because I don't think the schizophrenia is Trump. I think Trump is still committed to what he said in the campaign about going after Wall Street, going after the regime changers, the neocons, the Bush people, the Obama people, the Clinton people. But the problem is that he got convinced along the way that he didn't have the depth of personnel and people who he could bring in to do that. And to be credible, he would have to rely on neoconservatives, the same people who created the problem.
And that isn't – okay. That's counterintuitive.
How do you drain the swamp when you hire crocodiles to do the draining?
I was just going to say that's counterintuitive because the very same people that were there to maintain the status quo, the statists themselves, weren't going anywhere. And I was looking at this, and Harley, I was just absolutely appalled of some of the people. I mean, We'll keep coming back to Trump here. We'll make our way back to Donald J. here. But I'm looking at people like Rex Tillerson. Okay, he was the CEO of an oil company. Well, what the hell does he know about being Secretary of State? Well, and it dawned on me that he is there for the military-industrial complex. He is there to keep the cash flowing off of the war-making stuff. We had Trump promise that, we're going to stop this nation-building stuff and we're going to wind down these wars in the Middle East. It's only been 16 years. Rex Tillerson comes out and says, hey, right in the, when he was at Davos, I think it was, came right out and threw mud right in the Russians' face by saying, well, hey, it was the Russians over there that was doing the chemical bombing of the Syrian people.
Yeah, that was a conference in Paris.
Ah, yes.
That Tillerson spoke at, in which he said that whoever did the chemical attack, the Russians are at fault. Now, the fact that he had to say whoever did it shows that, once again, we don't have any definitive evidence. Now, Tillerson's a little schizophrenic on this himself, because he was the one who made the first really profound statement about regime change being over when he said, we're not there to get rid of Assad. Now, what did he say 2 weeks ago?
He's there to get rid of Assad.
Peace in Syria until Assad is gone.
That's right.
So you have this schizophrenia, and what I wrote about in my article that I sent you today is that what we see is that inside and outside the administration, you have an extra offensive going on right now from the neoconservative networks. And why is that taking place? One, because the financial collapse is coming. Two, the Mueller investigation, which was supposed to get rid of Trump, may not succeed, and they're beginning to realize that there's such a web of corruption involved in it that it loses its credibility. And three, the new potential financial system based on physical production, oil, gold, the Chinese currency, the Russians are buying gold, that we may be nearing the end of the petrodollar era. And so under those circumstances, the neocons are going to come out with their default option, which is war, which is regime change, which is chaos.
We have chaos all over the globe. It was fascinating. We were talking about debt before. It's fascinating to me that we're in the great recessive depression 2.0. And I'm looking at this. What has the government done? When your goes into doesn't equal your goes out of, then you've got to make some changes. When was the last cut in services? When was the last fat trimming that you've seen coming out of Washington, D.C.? If the flow of cash is not coming in, well, then something's got to be lobbed off. There's no mention of this whatsoever, Harley.
Well, you do have the Freedom Caucus and others talking about it, but I look at it a little bit differently. If you don't have enough coming in to cover your costs, you do have to look at the costs and figure out which are really necessary and which aren't necessary. But the other question is, what can you do to increase the amount coming in other than raising taxes? And this is where Lyndon LaRouche is the leading expert on the planet today, in talking about how you upgrade your physical economy, the scientific and technological factors in increasing productivity, so that in your production process, you produce real value greater than what you consume to produce. That was what the American system was about. That's how we got out of debt from the Revolutionary War. That's how we became an industrial power, by recognizing that it's physical production and developing a population capable of innovation that enables you to produce real value more than you consume. Right now, we're not producing real value. We're producing a flood of paper.
Here's the question. Can that be achieved without using the middleman or the funny money people's script?
Well, there's something called a capital budget, which is an interesting concept. And this comes at the question of infrastructure, because Trump wants to build things, but the Congress is saying we don't have the money. And then they tried this public-private partnership. And, of course, private people will only put money in if they're going to get more money out of it. So that doesn't function. So the question is, can you create a credit-generating capability that will be able to pay for itself in the long run? Not the short run, but in the long run. And how do you do it? And the way you do it is you do the kinds of projects which will increase the productivity of the whole economy, not just the income from the immediate infrastructure. For example, the canals and the ports from the early days of America made commerce profitable, but it also created new cities. It created new industries. And so the total value went up of the economy, real value. And so that's how the debt was able to be paid off. That's how the Revolutionary War debt was paid off, with that kind of policy. So if you try to do it from the existing budget, it doesn't work, because the existing budget is already parceled out, as you were just saying, to services, to veterans benefits, to pay for the military. You know, our military, there's an area where we could certainly save some money.
Well, and again, yeah, Trump just increased the military budget by another 13% to have our modernized and strong military. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, if, and Harley, I we talk about in terms of the neoconservatives, the people that want to keep waging war. You know, and there's various paybacks for doing those sorts of things. Much of them negative, to you and I, or our viewpoint would be negative. But as I look at this, you know, I don't believe that the federal government should be involved in retirement benefits, Social Security, getting involved in health care. That's what they screwed it up in the first place by getting involved in it. That should be left to the free market, the innovation, who can treat the patient better for least cost. That's the people that are going to get the patients. Time and time again, I look at the way things are being done and directed out of Washington, D.C., and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Social Security, I know there's a lot of people dependent on Social Security payments today, and I'm not advocating that it just be cut off because it wasn't a constitutional program to begin with. I'm not advocating that. But what I am advocating is cutting it off, not taking any new members in, cutting that program off, paying off the people that are in the system. The government might have to borrow money. As a matter of fact, I know they're going to have to borrow money to put it in.
John, you said something a little while ago. I think you said it about Clinton, but it was also done about Bush, by Bush and Obama, that they took the money that went into Social Security that was supposed to pay benefits in the future and spent it on current costs. And when you do that, then what are you expecting? The government's going to win the lottery to be able to pay that off?
That money's got to come from someplace. And whether we're talking about Social Security benefits or we're talking about upgrading the military and not having the money for it, to me, I don't care if you're buying pineapples or mangoes. It does not matter, because the money is not there to do it with. With the military, we've had, how many years have we been in business here? What, 214, 215 years? We have known, I think, a total of 4 years of peace, that we weren't on the planet somewhere, somehow, blowing up something, replacing a regime, being involved in wars. Give it a name, give it a date, give it a place. And we have bases all over this planet. Yeah. Why are we still in Japan? Why the hell are we still in Germany? Why is NATO alliance still plugged in? These bases could be shut down. The personnel...
This is a really interesting point, because you read the reports coming out of the Heritage Foundation and the Foundation for a New Democracy. And
the sock puppets,
Project
I call them.
For the New American Century.
Yeah.
And they talk about the aggressive Chinese and Russians planning to set up a base, in one naval base in Syria. They ignore the fact that we have bases everywhere around the world. They talk about the censorship in Russia and China, which is not good. But your commercial just before is talking about the fact that we're now seeing vast expansion of censorship going on in the alternative media in the United States. They talk about the Chinese and Russians spying on their population. What the hell is the National Security Agency?
Well, that's another thing. I mean, Harley, I'm glad I got you on for the 2 hours because you keep talking and bells keep ringing in my head. We have a problem here. We have, and most people think that, oh, they're building a police state in America. No, it's already been built. Half of it's not yet been implemented, but we're going to get there real fast. I'll tell you what, let me take this break. We'll come back. We're talking with Harley Schlanger today, and we'll take your phone calls, and we'll start getting to them in the next hour, 800-313-9443. There's a bunch of stuff that I want to talk to Harley about, so bear with us. We'll get to you. We'll be back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Talking with Harley Schlanger. Harley, Middle East. We've got Mr. Kushner, Trump's wonderful son-in-law that doesn't seem to think that Israel can do anything wrong whatsoever. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case in terms of Kushner, who is a contributor to his family is a large contributor to the building of settlements And, you know, if you think you're going to be able to broker a Middle East peace when you're giving the Netanyahu regime a blank check, and in fact you're giving him private donations to expand settlements in an area that the Palestinians think should be theirs, how can that work? It's not going to work, and we're lucky it hasn't exploded already.
Well, and you just mentioned the phraseology of a two-state solution or peace in the Middle East. That, this is not going to happen because it's not the intention of Israel to do anything but take all of that land.
Well, and you see, the other thing with Israel now is the de facto alliance with Saudi Arabia. And, you know, Israel talks about itself as the one real democracy in the Middle East. Well, now it's allying with one of the leading dictatorships in the Middle East. But the fact that they have a de facto alliance, and what did the Saudis do? The Saudis have been the leading funder of terrorist operations, whether it's ISIS or Al-Qaeda. The Saudis are quarreling with Qatar because Qatar funds the Muslim Brotherhood, another terrorist band. But you have this, the U.S. allies in the region have been the supporters of terrorism. And that's why Obama's policy, the so-called anti-terror policy of Obama, never worked, because it was never an anti-terror policy. It was to build up the terrorists as an aspect of U.S. strategic policy.
And
by the way, that's what Michael Flynn exposed, and that's why he was fired. And that's one of the reasons why the first target of the Russiagate investigation was Flynn, because with whatever other problems he may have had, he knew, he has the details of the U.S. funding of weapons trafficking through Libya into Turkey, into the hands of the terrorists in Syria.
Well, and these terrorists are the anti-Assad group, which we have also been providing funds and training. And we're over there operating uninvited in Syria alongside Russia. And I, to this day, I am extremely amazed that that little, I wouldn't even dare call it a coalition, but staying out of each other's way long enough for Russia to accomplish their task. And it's damn near done. We're starting to see Israel run sorties into Syria themselves, trying to provoke. And this whole ISIS, you know, the bad guys, terrorists inside of Syria, the one country, Harley, that Arabs and Jews and Christians and anybody were living side by side in relative peace with no problems.
Yeah. Now, this was a targeted operation, and the same thing with Lebanon. You know, Lebanon has a Maronite Christian president, Michel Aoun, and the prime minister is Hariri, who is a Sunni, and then you have Hezbollah. And everyone was saying when Hariri was in Saudi Arabia that they're going to kill him, the place is blowing apart. Fact is that Hezbollah and the Maronite Christians and the Sunnis were working pretty well in Lebanon until the Saudis pulled the string there.
Yeah, they sure did. And I want to get into that. Saudi Arabia and Israel have not been total strangers. They have been cooperating for some time. In the next hour, Harley, I want you to explain what happened with this purge that happened in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
let's take this break. We're talking with Harley Schlanger here. We'll take your calls into the next hour. Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute, 800-313-9443.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.